Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So, I'm reading now from Joyful Path of Good Fortune, a chapter on the meditation on death. So, there's some beautiful quotes in here about living our life more lightly in the context of being a traveler bound for future lives, rather than seeing ourselves as a permanent fixture in this world, kind of grasping at this world as lasting forever, even though intellectually we know we're not here forever. We kind of live as though everything is permanent. Rather than this, instead of viewing ourselves as a permanent resident, we think of ourselves as being a traveler bound for future worlds. So when a traveler stays a few nights in a luxurious hotel, he does not develop strong attachment to its comforts because he knows he will soon be moving on. When he has to leave the hotel, he does not feel miserable because he's never regarded it as his real home. In the same way, if we cease to think of this life as our permanent home and begin to regard ourselves as travelers bound for future worlds, we'll be less attached to this life and will naturally develop great interest in Dharma and spiritual teachings, Buddhist teachings, for Dharma alone helps us in all our future lives. So you can get a feel for this with the analogy, you know, staying in a hotel for a few nights. It's all very beautiful and you enjoy and appreciate those surroundings and you put up with any unexpected inconveniences. You know, I'm in a luxurious hotel. There shouldn't be problems, but there's problems everywhere. Because, you know, like you're leaving soon. You're able to treat any difficulties with a sense of lightness because you're not there forever. You're able to enjoy the pleasures of that environment because you're not there forever. Yeah, so this mentality of passing through is an incredibly enriching way to live our life. So this first point about overcoming our attachment, attachment to worldly concern, it like strangles our heart and destroys our mental peace. Like so much of the destruction of our mental peace comes from attachment to worldly concern, to being overly invested in gain and loss and success and failure and praise and criticism, pleasure and displeasure, comfort, discomfort, you know, trying to secure all of the first ones and avoid all of the second ones. Geshe says, while we remain attached to resources and respect, pleasure, a good reputation and praise, our mind is unbalanced and we're inclined to become overexcited when we possess them and dejected when we lose them. We remain unstable, vulnerable, and emotionally dependent upon these things. Most of our energy goes into securing them and guarding against their loss. When we practice Dharma, our motivation is strongly influenced by our attachment, and so our practice, like all our other activities, is in the interests of this life alone and aimed at obtaining its enjoyments. To overcome attachment to the welfare of this life, we meditate. We're going to do this as a meditation at the end. So this is in italics. Throughout the books, if you see italics, this is indicating something to meditate on. In general, you could meditate on any of it. You could pick a paragraph and turn it into a contemplation. You slow it down. You read a sentence, close your eyes, think about it. Read a sentence, close your eyes, think about it. Let the meaning touch your heart. But specifically, italics are referring to explicit meditations, that we can do and that lead, in general, afterwards, it'll tell you like where this is leading to, what kind of state of mind it's pointing us to. So to overcome attachment to the welfare of this life, we meditate. It makes no difference whether or not I receive respect, a good reputation, or praise. I do not receive any great benefit from these, and when I lose them, I'm not greatly harmed. Words of blame cannot hurt me. Wealth is easily lost, and the pleasures of this life are transient. I do not need to be so interested in these things or overly concerned about them. And so this leads us from attachment. This is a nice meditation to do when you can see yourself kind of grasping onto one of these things, sort of overly obsessing over finances or what someone thinks of you, or like some sort of uncomfortable conditions that you're enduring. It cuts through the attachment and brings a sense of like an equanimity, an evenness of mind, a balanced attitude. If we can develop equanimity with regard to the concerns of this life, we will overcome many of our daily anxieties and frustrations. We will find that we have more energy for our spiritual practice and that our practice becomes pure. By comparison with non-religious people, anyone who has developed equanimity with regard to worldly concerns has a higher degree of spiritual attainment. So this sense that, you know, this one life is not our only life helps to expand our awareness out and to not be so fixated on the concerns of this life. Yeah, we develop a sense of being a spiritual traveler, like we're moving. We're moving past everything. You know, even when we're static, stationary, not moving, we're still on the move. We're passing through this life. You can see how this brings a greater sense of equanimity. Not only, you know, sort of this too shall pass from the point of view of the difficult things, but also from the point of view of all of the pleasant things. We don't grasp so strongly at the fulfillment of our wishes either if we believe that we've had countless previous lives. I've been experimenting with this one, like when things don't go the way you want them to, and then thinking, oh, it doesn't matter because I've experienced this countless times before. Like this wish has been fulfilled many times before. It's okay that it didn't get fulfilled now, like this. So you see, like you can get quite creative with this. even if you don't have complete conviction, you can still get quite creative with this. Like, oh, it's okay. It's passing by. I've had it many times, and you know what happened before? It disappeared when I died. Like, so it's okay. So it's okay. Like I can relax. I can keep a happy and relaxed mind. When we're experiencing difficulties, again, you can think, I've experienced this many times before. And you know what? I survived them. It's okay. It's okay. I can experience this. It's okay to experience this. And then from that perspective point of view, you know, you zoom out and you think, okay, this is one small experience, one small sort of incident in the context of this boundless continuum of my own mind. Perspective is a marvelous thing, isn't it? Like we know the effect that perspective brings, and you don't get much broader perspective than countless past and future lives to put your present experience into perspective. So then, of course, you know, this kind of pairs with that second benefit. So developing a greater equanimity towards worldly concern then naturally brings a greater interest in spiritual development. You know, the real, like the deep meaning of the word spiritual, like to be a spiritual person at its deepest meaning, means to be concerned for more lives than just this one. Yeah, like in general we say spiritual means, or being a spiritual person is to be more interested in our inner development than our external development. The deeper meaning is to be more concerned about future lives than this one. Yeah, for our interest to be around you know, caring for, developing and improving our mind for the benefit of ourselves and others. So back in Living Meaningfully, Dying Joyfully, we're going to include this in the meditation as well. Geshe-la says, if we base our life on a realistic awareness of our mortality, and I would say on an awareness that our mind is a continuum, stretching back and stretching forwards into the future, we will regard our spiritual development as far more important than the attainments of this world. And we will view our time in this world principally as an opportunity to cultivate positive minds, such as patience, love, compassion, and wisdom. Motivated by these virtuous minds, we will perform many positive actions, thereby creating the cause for future happiness. Yeah, so this is the karma. Yeah, karma just means action. It's a word describing the connection between our actions and our experiences. And the continuum of our very subtle mind is the link between actions and experiences. You think, well, how can my actions now create experiences in years' time or lifetime's time? It's because those actions are like seeds in that very subtle mind, that field of the very subtle mind. We sow seeds through our actions, and our experiences are like the ripening of those seeds. Yeah, the results of those seeds. So motivated by these virtuous minds, we'll perform many positive actions, thereby creating the cause for future happiness. When the time of our death comes, we will be able to pass away without fear or regret. Our mind empowered by the virtuous karma we have created. As if our mind continues beyond the death of this life, and if it is our mind that is creating all of our future experience, you think how important it is to take care of my mind, to set aside time for meditation, to train in virtuous minds outside of meditation, to adopt this view. I mean, what a beautiful view to have. Again, wherever we sit in our beliefs with respect to these things, what a beautiful view to have of your life, like to view your time in this world principally as an opportunity to cultivate virtuous minds. Like to bring that to each day, to each environment that you enter into. You walk into work and you're like, I'm here principally to seize the opportunity to develop virtuous minds. Like that doesn't have to be your original reason for seeking a job there. You can like edit it, yeah? So maybe you think, well, actually, I'm just here for the money. Actually, I'm here because, you know, it was the only application that was accepted out of 120 job applications. You know, you can sideline that and think, no, I have a spiritual purpose in being here. I'm here to accumulate the inner wealth of patience, love, compassion, and wisdom. Why am I, you know, in this environment, in that environment, in interacting, you know, with our family, with our friends, and so on? We can be holding this sense of purpose in our heart, and understanding that through that we are deeply, nurturing and investing in our mental continuum and in our future lives. Yeah, because you think that's all that can come with me beyond this life. Every physical possession will be left behind. Every single one of them. But all of your internal possessions, everything you've cultivated in your heart, it goes with you. And you can use it in future lives. You can use it. You can use all your virtue in future lives. So it's like a spiritual investment, you know. Like we're familiar with the idea of investing in something now for the benefit of later in this life. You know, we invest time in our education and skills, we invest money, we invest in our health. And you get a good feeling now, don't you? Like when you save money, you're like, yeah. And you know you're going to get good feeling later because it's going to lead to some fulfillment of a wish. Or, you know, when you take care of your health now, you get like good feeling. You're like, yeah, I'm doing good stuff for my body, you know. I didn't want to go exercise, but I did it. Like, yeah, like this. And you know that later you're going to have a good feeling of having taken care of your health and you're going to reap the benefits of what you've done in the past. It's the same with our mind, but again, across vast expanse of time. You think, yeah, I'm planting these kinds of habits in my mind now because I want to be like this forever. I want to be the embodiment of love, compassion, and wisdom forever. Maybe eventually, you know, enlightened. That is the very embodiment of compassion and wisdom. Yeah. So it shifts our view of our time in this world for the better. You know, if you were to get to the end of this life and someone says, actually, there are no future lives, you wouldn't regret living your life in this way, would you? Yeah, there's nothing lost by living our life in this way.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.